Today we read the story of Palm Sunday from John's Gospel. Palm Sunday, of course, is the day that Jesus finally came to the city of Jerusalem, the last week of his life. Thursday night, the Last Supper, meeting with the disciples in the upper room, and then moving to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is betrayed and arrested. And then Good Friday, the trial and the crucifixion of our Lord, all leading up to the unexpected and amazing good news of Easter Day. But Holy Week begins today with Palm Sunday, and so we read the story here from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Hear the word of God. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The world had gone after him, so it seemed. "Hosanna, save us now, Hosanna," they're shouting as the world goes after him. And we can understand this in our celebrity-soaked culture, can't we? There's a huge crowd, according to John, because Jesus has raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. That would probably draw a crowd in our day, too. There might have been less of a crowd, however, if they'd understood where the donkey was heading. There might have been less of a crowd if they'd understood that this Palm Sunday parade had a different kind of a destination. Not the temple, but the tomb. Not a parade, but the passion. Not delight, but death. Indeed, the crowds would dwindle as the week goes on, until there are only a few standing at the foot of the cross. I've been thinking this week about two things that I've read. One is from Henry Nouwen, who is the author of the Lenten devotional we've been reading, a spiritual teacher, a Catholic priest. And he wrote this: in the spiritual life, discipline, which is the discipline of reading scripture, the discipline of a regular prayer life, the discipline of regular worship, that sort of thing. He says, in the spiritual life, discipline means to create the space in which something can happen that you had not planned or counted on. That's a really interesting insight. The spiritual life, a regular reading of scripture, a regular prayer time, regular worship, isn't so much for those things themselves as it is to create a space in which something can happen that you haven't expected, you haven't anticipated. You're creating room, really, he's saying, for the Spirit of God to do something new. And the discipline of setting time aside for God means you're setting time apart to actually look and listen and see if something just might happen. Most of the time, we're busy doing other things, and if something new happens, we might not even notice. The other thing I read this week is a comment on the scripture, the one we read last week, actually, where Jesus says, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And in her book on forgiveness, Paula Houston writes this about those words of Jesus. His mission is to make whole that which has been fragmented or damaged or even destroyed through the depredation of evil. Yet only we who are willing to acknowledge our own spiritual illness are open to this kind of healing. Only we who are willing to acknowledge our own spiritual illness are open to this kind of healing. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot to do this week. The fact that it's Holy Week and the things that I'm going to be doing are churchy things doesn't make it any less busy. I have a little checklist, just things that need to be done this week, just like you do. Some of you are going back to school. Many of you are going back to work. All of you have tasks to accomplish, responsibilities to complete, plenty to do. And so it will be the easiest thing, the most likely thing, that we will not create the space in which something can happen that we're not expecting. It will be the easiest thing, the most likely thing, that we will not acknowledge our own spiritual illness. It'll be the easiest thing, the most likely thing, that like the Palm Sunday crowd, that fickle gathering of people who are not all that different than we, it'll be the easiest and most likely thing to ignore the truth that we do not need a celebrity savior, but that we are in need of a physician. A physician of the soul. But only if we're willing to acknowledge our own spiritual illness. We need a physician of the soul to heal those among us who are paralyzed by fear of what might be, what might happen. We need a physician of the soul to heal those among us who are prisoners of the past, unable to break free of a past you cannot change. We need a physician of the soul to heal those among us who are in mourning, who are trapped by grief. We need a physician of the soul among us who can heal those among us who are in need of forgiveness, who desperately want to let go of our sins, and yet somehow they've got a hold of us. We need a physician of the soul to heal those among us who need to let go of the bitterness and anger they feel toward another that are really just holding themselves captive, no one else. We need a physician of the soul to set free those who have been wounded by life and need a new prescription of hope. We need a physician of the soul to heal those among us who are captive to our own riches and do not know it, who feel lost in their routines, who are living on autopilot. A physician of the soul to heal those who are so preoccupied with ourselves that we seldom pay attention even to those who are closest to us. We need a physician of the soul to heal those among us who rarely pay attention to the world around us, to the people around us, those who do not realize that the only life worth living is the life that you give away in love. What might happen? What might happen if we look beyond the Palm Sunday parade to the real reason that Jesus came? To cure that illness of the soul that pretty nearly all of us have if we're brave enough to look in the mirror. And what if, in the midst of all the things we have to do this week, we leave just a little room, a little space, in which something can happen that we cannot expect, that we do not plan, that we cannot even imagine? Hosanna, save us now, the crowd said on that first Palm Sunday. Maybe one of those whom Jesus came to save is you. Pray with me. In this holy week, O Lord, let us find a few holy moments in which something unexpected can happen. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.